Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, dear friends, we celebrate this Mass on this first Friday in honor of the Sacred Heart of our Lord. Listen to what we are told today in the Scriptures. First, from that first reading from the book of Baruch. First of all, it's important for us to know that Baruch is one of the Deuterocanonicals, which means you will not find this book in the Protestant Bibles. It's one of the seven that were removed by the Protestant Reformers. This is a part of the full gospel, the full Bible, the full scripture. And where does Baruch fall into place? Baruch was the scribe of the prophet Jeremiah. So we know we had the book of Jeremiah, then Lamentations, which traditionally was called 2 Jeremiah, and then we have Baruch, which also traditionally used to be called 3 Jeremiah. So this is in the tradition of the prophet Jeremiah. Remember how much Jeremiah suffered? He was the youngest of the prophets. He was the only celibate among them. He constantly warned God's people. They didn't like him. They abused him. They mistreated him. So here, of course, we hear from his scribe Baruch, and Baruch's continuing that tradition. And what are God's people saying? This all happened because we didn't listen to him. We didn't trust him. We didn't obey him. That's important for us, especially on this first Friday, to ask in our own hearts, how have I not listened to God or obeyed him? How have I not been willing to follow him? And first and foremost for ourselves, but then in your marriages, in your families, and then as a country. Do you realize, dear friends, that each of us will be responsible for the sins of our nation? What are we going to do when God asks us, what about all those aborted children? What about gay marriage? What about all these national sins? Did you grieve them? Did you pray that they would be reversed, these false laws? What did you do? We will have to answer for those as well. So today we examine our hearts. We examine the hearts of marriages and families, parishes, but also of our nation. And we ask God's mercy. As we think about the different sins, we spoke 2 months ago about sins against God. And last month we spoke about sins against marriage. I think tonight is very important in light of our national scene that we speak about sins against parenthood. Make no mistake about it. Parents are the primary, chief, principal teachers of their children. Any nation, any government, any teachers union who seeks to take that authority from parents is of the devil. For God has given that authority to parents. What is the role then of the extended family? What is the role of government agencies, of teachers, to assist parents in their primary fundamental duties? Even the church bows to the authority of parents, for that authority is given by God. Not even the church can usurp that authority. And all of our programs, all the things we seek to do, are in service to parents. This is why the language the church uses. We assist parents in their duty as the primary teacher of their children. Parish programs exist in order to assist parents. The weight placed upon parents is difficult. It's extensive. It can appear overwhelming. This is why it's important that there be support networks and extended families and organizations and the parish in order to assist. In fact, between the church and the parents, we say that there is a natural alliance. We have a connection with parents as the church more than any other organization or entity. Certainly more than the government. But yet, what do we see? Right now, we find in our own country elected leadership who are saying that they don't have to listen to parents. They will determine what is taught. They are even going to school the parents and dismiss the parents and the parental authority and even pass laws in order to restrict the authority or the freedom of parents to raise their children according to their understanding and the dictates of their own conscience. Dear friends, this is an assault. This is an assault from the evil one. For God has given this authority to parents. Now I want to stress, it's important that grandparents play their role. They're the grandparents, huh? Right? They should assist, guide, provide moral support to the parents. Extended family of aunts and uncles, I'm partial to uncles, okay? Should also provide support. Neighborhoods should provide support. Certainly, teachers, those trained in specific skills, should provide support to parents. Certainly, other organizations within the broader community should provide support. But none of them have the authority of parents. And when we find parenthood attacked, parenthood diminished, parental authority denied, then we are beginning to lose ourselves. For we can never forget that the family is the very cell and the fabric of any nation. It's certainly the cell of the church. And when you begin to dismantle the family by removing parental authority, then you are in effect dismantling a nation. And if the church permits it, you are dismantling even the strength of the church. You see why the devil works so hard? He is so sly. Now, certainly there are times in which we have terrible parents who cause great harm to their children, in which children must be removed. That should be rare and only when absolutely necessary. And even when that happens, the goal is to rehabilitate the parent so the child can return to the parent, or to provide as close a parental figure to the child as possible in order to strengthen the well-being of the child. But this should be very rare, dear friends. As Christians, it is clear for us that parental authority is given by God. And again, not even the church, as the very body of Christ, would ever claim to take that authority from parents. And certainly not a democratic republic with elected leadership who are to be beholden to the people should ever claim to usurp the authority of parents. St. Paul tells us that every family receives its name from the heavens. Did you know that? Your family was named by God himself. So next time you want to complain about a family member, you can say, well, God stuck us all together, right? When we find ourselves struggling with a family member, we know that that person was sent to us in order that we might encourage them, provide intercession for them. They have been sent to us by God. How oftentimes do we sometimes find that people will be willing to help everyone else on the face of the planet except the people within their own homes? Charity begins at home. If you're not helping your own, then you have no moral credibility or grace to help anyone else. For it starts at home, and it principally begins with the parent. The parents, mother and father, husband and wife, are bound to pass on their way of life to their children, an understanding of God, moral truth, prayer, mercy, the natural talents and abilities that they might need in order to prosper in the midst of society. But that is the parental role. Teachers are beholden to parents. Teacher unions are beholden to parents. Government is beholden to parents. This was once an understood truth. But that's back when our nation was strong. Our church was strong. What has weakened us, dear friends? The utter assault on the unborn, the assault on marriage, the assault on God's majesty and the Sabbath, the assault on parental authority. Tonight, by the power of prayer, we are attacking that assault, and we are dismantling it by the workings of God's grace. Tonight, as we offer this prayer vigil, we pray that for all the sins of humanity, God might be merciful, that the temporal punishment that is just will not be too severe. Please, Lord, restore the authority of parents, restore the strength of our nation, restore the strength of our church, that we might once again speak of God with credibility, speak of moral truth with credibility. It begins in the home. Tonight we remind ourselves, in many places, in many ways, it begins with parents.